Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, exploring, Bob Zimmerman is going to update us on the sunspots that are unreliable. Bob, we were on our way to the moon with sunspots, and then what's happened?
Yep, I do this every month, and every month the conclusion is scientists really do not know what's going on. Every month. And so what happened this last past month, the sunspot activity on the sun-facing hemisphere of the sun, the amount of sunspots in September crashed. It went way down. And previously, for the last 5 months, the number of sunspots per month had been growing with great acceleration. And way above the predictions, way, way above all the predictions. Now it's crashed. But it's not crashed to the predictions. It's still way above the predictions. So the scientists don't really know what's happening. Their predictions have all been wrong. They've been guessing. When they guess, they change their guesses, then the sun does things to make their first guess right, and they shouldn't have changed. We don't know what the sun's going to do. We don't understand the fundamental processes, but we must have to always remind oneself that the sun really is the most important factor in our climate. And when the sun is more active in sunspots, that produces that's associated with a warming climate on the Earth routinely. When the sun is less active, that's associated with a cooler climate on the Earth routinely. And this higher activity at this as we're entering solar maximum now strongly suggests that it's a major factor in the in any warming that might go on right now in our climate, and we must recognize that in any discussions of the climate. It could be other factors. The uncertainties here are gigantic, the uncertainties, but it's a factor that has to be considered if we are going to discuss the climate.
And we go to V'ger 2. We left V'ger 1 with a rebooted computer, as I recall. Where's Voyager 2?
Voyager 2 is on its way out of the solar system. It's already gotten out of the heliosphere, so it's in kind of interstellar space, the interstellar environment. But both of these Voyager spacecraft, as they move away from us, and they've been up there now for almost a half century, both of them have a nuclear power source that slowly is declining in its power generation. And so Voyager 2, they made the decision a week ago, to close down one of the 4 remaining science instruments. They've shut down a lot of both of these spacecraft because of the reduction in power. But the power has gone down so much that they made a decision to shut down one of the science instruments. And the decision here, I think, is their effort to stretch out the use of these spacecraft for as long as possible. Originally, they were going to keep them all running for as long as possible, and that meant they'd run out of power sometime in 26. But now it appears saving power one by one, they might be able to stretch it out into the 30s. And that's an engineering test. Can you communicate with a spacecraft this far away for that long? And that's what they're trying to do, John.
Bob, what's on board that computer? The computer on board those, is it comparable to anything we can imagine? Is it Nintendo 64 or more crude than that?
It's earlier than that. Remember, the computer age for most humans, home computers, started in the late 80s. These computers for the Voyager craft were built in the late 60s, right, early 70s. So they are very, very primitive relative to what we have today, but they continue to run. And they are the longest running operating system of any computer ever. They've been running continuously now for almost a half century.
All right, we have a map of Mercury, a magnetosphere map. What's the significance of that?
This is the European-Japanese dual orbiters, BepiColombo. did one of its many flybys of Mercury as it works its way to Mercury to go into orbit. There'll be two different crafts orbiting Mercury from Japan and Europe when it gets there. But it did a flyby of Mercury in June, and they now released data from that, which allowed them to map the magnetosphere, the magnetic field that surrounds Mercury. And I got a map on Behind the Black. They're getting better data. Once these two complementary orbiters are in orbit around Mercury, they are going to be able to map this with much greater precision. And not only will they be looking at the planet, but they'll be looking at the magnetosphere and the environment around Mercury as well. And so they've gotten their first data, basically.
Thunderstorms produce gamma rays. Did we know that?
This is really a cool story for me because I've written about gamma ray bursts many times. Gamma ray bursts were first discovered by the Vela constellation satellites in the late 60s, early 70s. Those satellites were designed to look for nuclear tests on the ground to make sure Russia was obeying the nuclear test ban treaty. But they also discovered these gamma ray bursts appearing in the sky randomly. It took almost three decades to discover that gamma ray bursts come from very distant events that create black holes. However, when they didn't know what caused gamma ray bursts, one of the theories was that they could also be produced by atmospheric conditions in the Earth's atmosphere. And it turns out that that is actually true, that the gamma ray bursts that we've been studying in space are generally cosmological. But gamma ray bursts do occur in thunderstorms, and they are a factor in producing and maintaining thunderstorms and need to be studied more. This is from data that was from instruments designed to look at this. And that's just really curious because they predicted this was a possibility. It turned out it wasn't the gamma ray bursts they were just studying in deep space, but it does exist, and that's really cool, John.
Water on the moon. I'm exhausted by this argument, Bob. Every other week it changes its direction. Where are we now?
We don't know. This is the uncertainty of science, but on science. But there were two different papers published recently that I posted on Behind the Black together, because both of them said that there is water on the moon. But I make the point in both these cases, the sales pitch is overstated. The amount of water that they might be discovering is in the rocks as molecules in the rocks, and it's a very tiny amount. They're overstating the case. That's simply the fact. All the data continues to suggest that there's a lot less water on the moon than we had hoped for.
Hydrogen peroxide on Pluto's moon Charon, is that significant?
It's just finding out more materials that on this moon. It helps us explain why it has a red and gray colors as well. Once again, this is using Webb, spectroscopy from Webb. This confirms a lot of data from the New Horizons spacecraft that flew past it a few years ago.
Pluto is so strange. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. The 13th of October. Be there for Starship.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.